chapter 20, text 1. I forgot to mention earlier that this chapter is entitled as Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena of Maharaj Prithu. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, being very much satisfied by the performance of 99 horse sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, appeared on the scene. Accompanying him was King Indra. Lord Vishnu then began to speak." This verse doesn't have any purport, so I'll go over to the next one, text 2. Shri Bhagavan Ubacha, Esha Te Eka Shrid Bhangam Hayo Megha Shatashaha Khama Payato Atmanam Amusha Khantum Arhasi. Translation. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, "My dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him." Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Atmanam is very significant. It is a custom among yogis and gyanis to address one another, or even an ordinary man, as oneself. For a transcendentalist never accepts a living being to be his body. Since the individual self is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self and the super-self are qualitatively non-different. As the next verse will explain, the body is only a superficial covering, and consequently an advanced transcendentalist will not make a distinction between one's self and another. So Prabhupada is pointing out the expression here, Atmanam, which has been translated here as yourself, unto yourself. But actually this word Atmanam literally means the self. Atma means the spirit soul, and Atmanam means to the spirit soul. So here Prabhupada is pointing out that this word Atmanam is very significant, because a transcendentalist always sees a living entity as a spirit soul. He doesn't consider the living entity to be the body, because body is just a temporary covering. And beyond that temporary covering is the real self, and that is the real personality. So here, King Prithu has been addressed as the spirit soul, not as, "O King Prithu," or so and so forth, but "you, the spirit soul." Also in Gita, Krishna has explained that when one becomes situated on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, when one becomes situated on the transcendental platform, then shama sarveshu bhutesu, then one sees every living entity equally, with an equal vision. And Prabhupada also explained there that that equality is due to the spiritual identity of the individual. Like if we see the material identity, then of course there are differences. Different people look different, different people have different characteristics, different natures, they belong to different nationalities and religious convictions, and there are so many differences. But to a transcendentalist, those differences are insignificant. Why? Because those differences are simply pertaining to the bodies. And a transcendentalist knows that that one in his real identity is not the body, this material body, he is the spirit soul. And qualitatively all the spirit souls are equal. All the spirit souls are qualitatively the same. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the Supreme Spirit. And every living entity is his part and parcel. So that understanding is very, very important. And when we are situated in that understanding, then we cannot possibly hate anyone. We immediately feel love for everybody. Because this feeling of equality, that everyone is mine, the Sanskrit word for that is mamata. I'm sure you all know the expression mamo means mine. Ahang mameti. And mamata means that feeling of mineness, that everything is actually mine. Now this is not a feeling of mine with a tendency to exploit. Like in the material platform, people also have that feeling that this is mine and that is yours. This is my house, this is my car, this is my family, and so on and so forth. But that is a material concept. But in the spiritual platform also one has that feeling of mine. But that is not a feeling that is based on the desire for exploitation. In the material platform, everyone is trying to exploit, and everyone is trying to exploit in order to enjoy. Everyone thinks that he is going to derive some joy out of exploiting other objects in the nature. But that is not the case with the spiritual platform. In the spiritual platform is diametrically opposite to this exploitative platform. In the material platform, everyone tries to exploit, whereas in the spiritual platform, everyone tries to serve. That is, the spiritual platform means a platform of service. And this desire for service is also based on mamata, or the feeling of mineness. That this is mine, and that's why I feel attracted or drawn towards him. And that's why I feel like doing something for him. This can be explained as the father and mother's feelings towards their children. A father or a mother, they do not look at their children generally with a desire to exploit. They want to do things, especially the mother wants to do things for the child, simply out of her affection for the child. And why does the mother want to do that? Because the mother has a feeling that this is mine. This child is mine. And that's why she wants to do something for the child. Because the mother feels that the child is non-different from herself. So in the material platform, that is the extreme attachment. The extreme attachment in the material platform is the attachment between the mother and her children. But this is actually a perverted reflection of our spiritual relationship. The spiritual relationship is based on that feeling of mindness, and that is completely spiritual. That is completely based on the spiritual identity. A spiritually elevated person recognizes himself as a part and parcel of Krishna, and he also recognizes everybody else as parts and parcels of Krishna. So that's how they feel the similarity, that we belong to the same source. We belong to the same Father. And in that relationship, we all are related to each other as brothers. So that feeling is the very basic manifestation of the spiritual understanding. In the spiritual platform, if we do not have harmony, if we do not have this love for each other, which is manifested in the form of friendship, then we have to understand that something is actually wrong with our spiritual practice. Prabhupada often, he used to say that this society is based on love and trust. And that is the indication of how we are actually advancing spiritually. How much we have developed the love and trust for each other. That will be the sign of our advancement. If instead of loving each other and trusting each other, if we hate each other and doubt each other, then that is not quite spiritual. So you have to be very careful, especially when we transcend the Kanishtha Adhika platform. In the Kanishtha Adhika platform, one does not have that broad-mindedness. One does not have that profound understanding. In the Kanishtha Adhika platform, one actually is narrow-minded. That's why it's Kanishtha Adhika platform, the third-class platform of devotional service. But when devotees become situated on the second-class platform, Madhyam Adhikar platform, then he develops a spontaneous friendship for the other devotees. He develops affection for the innocent conditioned souls, and he avoids the demoniac people. That is a sign of a Madhyam Adhikari devotee, second class devotee. Ishvare tadodhineshu balisheshu dvisatsucha premo maitri kripa upekha ja karoti samadhama. For Krishna he has love. For Krishna's devotees he has friendship. For the innocent living entities he has compassion, and for the demons he has disregard or neglect. He avoids the demons. So if we want to be situated on the second class platform, then we have to display that tendency. But even higher is the first class platform, and that is the platform that Prabhupada is talking about here. The first class platform is Uttamadhika platform is Sarvabhuteshu ja pashyet bhagavad bhavamatmanah. Sarvabhuteshu, in all living entities, he sees ja pashyet bhagavad bhavamatmanah. He sees the manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bhagavad bhava. So that is the Uttam Adhikar platform. Of course, artificially we cannot imitate that platform. It is a matter of inner development, and as we develop inwardly, our nature will also develop. So, when you become a Uttam Adhikari devotee, then when our heart has become completely free from material contaminations, when our hearts have become completely attracted and dedicated to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then this Uttam Adhikar characteristics will automatically become manifest. But at least we can try to transcend the Kanishtha Adhikar platform. The Kanishtha Adhikar platform is one who sees only Krishna, recognizes only Krishna. Archayameva Haraye, not only recognizes, he worships Krishna. Archayameva Haraye, Pujang Jashodhaye Hate, Natad Bhakteshu Channeshu, Sha Bhakto Prakrita Smitaha. He worships Krishna with Shraddha, with devotion, with faith. For Krishna he has faith. For Krishna he has respect. But he does not recognize Natad Bhakteshu. He does not recognize Krishna's devotees and Channeshu or others. He is considered to be Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita means materialistic devotee. He is very much in the material nature. So he sees, he recognizes Krishna and he thinks that I am the greatest devotee. And he doesn't recognize anybody else. So that is a third class platform. So at least we can try to transcend that platform. And by transcending that platform, when we come to the Madhyamadhika platform, then automatically we develop a friendly relationship with the devotees. And it's very, very important, especially in this age when we are practicing the Sankirtan mood, the congregational or united endeavor for spiritual advancement. It is very, very important that we develop a favorable attitude towards other devotees. Often Prabhupada pointed out that nothing can actually destroy our movement from outside. The only way this movement can be destroyed is by internal quarrels and internal fighting. Nothing can destroy this movement from outside. Only this movement can be destroyed from inside. So that's why Prabhupada time and time again pointed out that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. If we love Prabhupada, then we have to display our love for Prabhupada through our cooperation with each other. We may not like each other. We may find many, many defects in other devotees. But because of our love, we have to tolerate. The way, due to the love for the father, the brothers become united. Some brother may be a rascal, but other brothers still treat him like a brother. Why? Because they love the father. The same way, if we love Prabhupada, then we have to display our love for him by cooperating with each other. And cooperation means tolerating. Cooperation means sacrifice. Cooperation means accepting difficulties for the sake of others. That is the meaning of cooperation. But instead, if we are simply concerned about our own benefits, our own profits, our own material comfort, then it will become difficult to cooperate. Because when there is a tendency to exploit, then cooperation becomes very difficult. So sacrifice is the answer to our unity. Sacrifice is the answer to our spiritual advancement. We have to sacrifice our material likes and dislikes for our spiritual gain. We have to reject matter. We have to give up matter for our spiritual benefit. And it may be difficult in the beginning, but in the long run, it will become easy. Prabhupada also pointed out that when we want to offer something to others, then automatically the others accept us. But if we want to take things from others, then if we simply want to take from others, then they won't like it. And it's such a simple formula. Like if you go to somebody and tell him that, look, I have something to give you, then he'll immediately like you. But if you go and say, give me, I have come here to take everything from you, then it will become very, he won't like it. So, and here we have been assigned with the duty to give the greatest benefit to the living entity. So we should become very, very aware of our position. We should become very much concerned about our duties. And if we do that, then everything will become wonderful. So, and then only we'll be able to see others as the spirit souls instead of seeing others as bodies. Like so many difficulties arise because of our body consciousness. If we are situated in the body consciousness, then immediately we'll begin to judge each other, begin to see each other from the external physical considerations. Oh, you are an American, I am an European, or you are an Asian and I am an African, and so on and so forth. So let's fight. So whenever there is such discord, then people immediately begin to fight. But our movement is transcendental to all these material considerations. And that's why in our society we are so harmoniously related to each other. In our society we do not care from what background one is coming, from what country one is coming. And very proudly Prabhupada used to say that. Prabhupada often used to say that in the United Nations, in the name of unity, they are actually increasing the discord, increasing the disunity. Prabhupada said that each time I come to New York City and walk by this United Nations building, I see that the number of flags have increased. Now what does it mean? The more flags means more nations. In the name of, they are claiming that they are going to unify the whole world, but actually they are increasing the numbers of the nations. Whereas in our society, the Russians and Americans and Chinese and Japanese and Indians and Pakistanis, they all are together. And this is the real United Nations. This is what, this movement is actually unifying the whole world. But unfortunately, these politicians are so blind that they are not recognizing this. They simply say, actually they don't want to unify the world. They can't, because if they unify the world, then their interest will be completely shattered. They have to sacrifice all their personal motivation. And they can't do that. They are so selfish, they are so motivated that they cannot actually do that. But if we really want to unify the whole world, then this Krishna consciousness movement is the answer. If it applies, if it works in a smaller sphere, then obviously this principle will apply to a bigger sphere. Like in our small little society, it works. This Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna consciousness principle, have unified the people in ISKCON. So if that principle is applied worldwide, then the whole world will become united. At least we do not have any doubt about that. Now it is up to the people, those who are in power, to apply that principle. If President Reagan and Gorbachev get together and say, let's become Hare Krishnas, then the whole world will immediately become united. But the thing is, those people are not sincere. They don't want to benefit conditioned living entities. They don't want to benefit people. They simply want to benefit their senses and their immediate expansions of their senses, their family and friends. And for the sake of that, they don't mind destroying the whole world, and and they are actually destroying the whole world. But we have to try to influence people, we have to try to preach so that more and more people can understand that. It may take many years. We may not see the total success of Krishna consciousness movement in our lifetime. But one thing at least we are positive about, we are 100% convinced about one thing, that this movement is going to save the world, provided we spread this movement properly. So that is the responsibility we have. Like, we have to become devotees of Krishna. We have to follow the principle of Krishna consciousness movement. And we have to spread the principles of this movement. And as more and more people become attracted, become convinced, then someday the whole world will be transformed. And it will happen. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction will come true. And the scriptural prediction that for 10,000 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, the golden age will be established in this iron age. So that golden age will positively be established. At least we are experiencing the golden age in our society. Our life has become wonderful. And now that principle, as it spreads all over the world, the golden age will be established on this earth planet. And millions of people will be delivered and go back to Godhead and be situated in their eternal life of knowledge and bliss. So let us become fixed up in our understanding and conviction and keep pushing this movement onwards with a desire to save the world. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, the love between mother and children is material, based on the body, right? But spiritual friendship is based on the spirit soul. So it is even higher. But if the mother, the Krishna conscious mother, considers her child to be a spirit soul, and sees that this child of mine is actually a spirit soul, and my duty is to make this child into a devotee, then it transcends the material platform. Then it is a spiritual platform. Yeah, Srila Prabhu. Yeah, that's an indication that we are not practicing. We are not practicing the principle. Our practice is defective. So that's why we have to be concerned that we do not just externally pretend to be devotees and internally behave like karmis. So we have to become a devotee at heart. Like why there are divorce? Because they are relating to each other, husbands and wives are relating to each other according to their physical or material urges. If they are situated on the spiritual platform, there is no question of divorce. In the Vedic society, there is no question of divorce. Because a man and woman doesn't get together for their sense gratification, but they get together for spiritual advancement. Now, murder, as you mentioned, yes, it's there. Why? Because some people are so avaricious, for they're so greedy for their material position, that they would not allow any hindrance on their way. And if anybody is coming on their way, they don't hesitate to eliminate that person. So these are the defects. And we have to learn from those defects that we do not become prey to this defective approach. When you become devotees, then there cannot be any discord among ourselves. I'm not saying that we have become perfect, but I'm urging everyone to try to become perfect. And when you become perfect, then you'll have perfect harmony. Will have perfect unity. And actually by Krishna's mercy that is happening. That is happening. Gradually, the devotees in our society are becoming more and more united. And those who do not want to become united by Krishna's arrangement, they are being eliminated. This movement is directly taken care of by Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us become sincere. Then Krishna will help us. And as we endeavor to become purified, as we endeavor for purity, those who are endeavoring, they will become united. And that is the strength of our movement. The pure people, the pure devotees, or those who are aspiring for purity, and they will become united. But those who want to create disturbance, they will be eliminated in due course of time. So let us line up properly so that we do not become eliminated by Krishna. Who? Yeah. Yeah, very good question. Yeah, very good question. Yeah. Krishna wanted to protect. But when they became insincere, and Krishna saw that these people are actually nonsense, so Krishna gave up hope. If the people, those who are manning the society, if they are not sincere, then why Krishna will help? And the, when the sincere person who was struggling to unify and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world according to the instruction of his spiritual master, then Krishna came and gave him all the help. So actually Gauriamath is still there, but Gauriamath has actually become manifest in ISKCON today. The real Gauriamath is in ISKCON. And what is actually existing in the name of Gauriamath is just a dead shell without the life. What's the difference between a dead body and a living body? The dead body cannot function, whereas the living body is able to do everything. So ISKCON is capable of doing everything, whereas other so-called Vaishnav sampradayas, they are just ringing the bells and making some money displaying their deities to maintain themselves. That's about all they have reduced to. Anyway, you understand what is that, don't you? And there's no need to go into elaborate details. Right. Because cooperation means it's a sign of spiritual movement or our spiritual inclination. But disunity is a sign of material motivation. Like for instance, if you come to give me something, then how can I possibly not like you? Right? If you come and give me a lot of money, shall I ask you that you get out of here? No. But if you come to exploit me, then one day, 2 days, 3 days, I may tolerate you. But on the fourth day, I'll say, Prabhu, please, you go to some other temple. Right? So that's why... I mean, if we simply want to give without desiring to take, especially the senior devotees of our movement, if their tendency is to give instead of take, then I'm sure our society will become very healthy and our relationships will become very strong. Any other question? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.